Daniel chapter number 12. My hope tonight was to use the PowerPoint, and our computer got broke about a month ago. It's fixed, but we had to install the PowerPoint back on it. And I was hoping that this would work. I had it set up to work. Hey, it's coming on now. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. There we go. Now, I know that sometimes we go and try to get a little bit in depth when it comes to this stuff in Daniel, so I thought it might be a help tonight if we use this a little bit like we do in Sunday school class. There's a lot of ground we'd like to cover tonight, and can you see that or not really? Yes. Yes? Mr. Bruce, can you see it? Wonderful. He's got glasses, so if he can't see it, we're in trouble. So Daniel chapter number 12 tonight. Let's see here. Oh, that's not what we want to do, is it? No, I do not know how to do that. This is new, so that's not it either, is it? Thanks a lot, Mr. Jim. Oh, if it was the old one, I could fix it, but I think you might be stuck there. If you can't, just listen. If you can't see it, there we go. There's in Daniel chapter number 12 here, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. We're at the last chapter when it comes to the book of Daniel. And here in a few weeks, we'll begin some type of new series, probably over a new book of the Bible. Not sure whether or not it's going to be Old or New Testament. There's a lot of books that I think the Lord would like for us to go through in the next few years. But we're going to finish up here in the book of Daniel. I know we at least have one more message, maybe two more messages. But today, this evening, I'd like to look at verses 1 through 4. And hopefully you'll be able to get through all these. We're going to go ahead and read them, and then we're going to start breaking them down for you here in verse number 1, Daniel chapter number 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer tonight. Ask the Lord to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your house. Lord, the book of Daniel has been wonderful. Lord, we're thankful for all the wonderful things we've learned, all the wonderful things we've been taught. And Lord, as we look at this last chapter, help us not look past it, but once again, help us to be encouraged because of the fact that you know all things and you're in control of all things. And God, that you are telling us what you want us to know in your word. Help us not get discouraged by the things we don't know, the things we don't understand, but instead let us have faith in the God that's willing to tell us and show us what the future events will hold. Lord, speak to people's hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we go too far, there are some important things to remember. And we began the book of Daniel, we've gone through prophecies in the last five chapters, and there's an important thing to remember about this last vision. That's the title of this evening's message, is Daniel's Final Vision, as part number 4. But in chapter number 10 is where this vision began, the description it was began. You remember the spiritual warfare that happened there, where you remember that the prince of Persia stopped the angel from coming and telling Daniel the answer to the vision. But in chapter 10, verse number 14, if you can't read it up there, you can turn it there in your Bible. The Bible says, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." Now that was a number of weeks ago we talked about, so there's three important things I want you to look at tonight before we get into chapter number 12. The first thing in chapter 10, verse 14, it says, "Thy people." We got to remember that this is not referring to the church. This is not referring to other people. This is referring to the nation of Israel. Daniel was interested in knowing what was going to happen to his nation. He besought God on their behalf. He did not understand everything that was going on. He knew the nation of Israel had returned back to Jerusalem, was rebuilding Jerusalem. Only a small portion went back. He began to fast. He began to pray, to seek God, to see what was going to happen. Daniel had already been revealed that there was going to be four major world kingdoms, but Daniel was assuming that God was going to come back to the millennial reign at that moment in time. There were still two more world kingdoms that had to come on the scene. Daniel did not understand what was going on. So Daniel asked and besought the Lord. Now, the Old Testament prophets, remember, they never saw the church. Church was not in their thinking. They did not understand that the gospel was going to go to the Gentiles the way it did. And so I want you to understand in chapter 10, verse 14, is some of the keys to understanding this final vision. First, in reference to thy people, it means it concerns the nation of Israel. They also use the phrase, in the latter days. Now, the latter days of the Old Testament are identified with the last days of the New Testament, which Jesus himself called the Great Tribulation period, and which corresponded with Daniel, the 70th week of Daniel. We looked at all those different weeks, and we understand that. We learned that a number of weeks ago also about the 70th weeks and how they it represents 7 years each and about those 490 years. And the last phrase that I think is important before we go in tonight is, yet the vision is for many days. And what does that mean? There will be a long time before all this happens. Now, when was this written? This was written 2,500 years ago. That is a long time ago. We are seeing the unfolding and the unveiling of the things that are going on, the signs of the times that are coming. So when we understand that Daniel was told by this angel or by this spiritual being, hey, it's not going to be for a long time. Daniel's interested in knowing what's going to happen to his people. And he is told here that it is a time that we'll have to just wait and see because it's not going to happen for a while. Now, let's look at these different verses a little bit. You see this phrase at the beginning in verse number 1, at that time shall Michael stand up. Now, what does it mean by at that time? It identifies a time frame also known as the time of the end in the latter days. If you go and look up those passages of Scripture in chapter 11, verse 35, or chapter 11, verse number 40, this phrase, the time of the end, is referring to the Great Tribulation. Also, you see the same phrase in chapter 12, verse number 4. And chapter 10, verse 14, is known as the latter days. So when you see this, at what time is Michael going to stand up? It's at the end of the Great Tribulation. This is now the end of the vision given to Daniel. And this ends with the Great Tribulation because this is where it's going to deal with his nation, the nation of Israel. Say, Pastor, I know you've mentioned this idea of what this word is, the Great Tribulation. Now, we could spend weeks talking about the Great Tribulation, but we're not going to get too much into detail about it tonight, but give you a little bit of understanding what the Great Tribulation is. It is a 7-year period after the rapture of the church in which the Antichrist will rise on the scene. After 3.5 years, the Antichrist will break his covenant with Israel and turn his back on Israel. Now, there's a lot of amazing things that happens in those 7 years. And we're not in the book of Revelation. We're in the book of Daniel. So we're going to stay and focus on this. Someday when we go into the book of Revelation, we'll understand a little bit more about the image that the beast sets up and how that he actually is killed and the Satan rises him up and things like that. We'll talk all about that some other time. But to give you understanding what the Great Tribulation is about, it says, Matthew 24, 21, Jesus himself says this, for then shall be a great tribulation. You say, where do you get the terminology, Great Tribulation, Pastor? Jesus said it, so I think that's a good enough thing to call it the Great Tribulation. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. He's saying, this is going to be the worst time that the nation of Israel will ever face. And I wrote down that the Jewish people have known many a time of trouble through their history. But according to verse number 1, this will be much worse. You think about all the different things that the nation of Israel has been through. And forget about the time of the judges and all that stuff that happened there. You think about Babylon came in and destroyed them, carried away the slaves. Think about it, the Antiochus Epiphanes that we talked about. Think about the onslaught of that against the Jews, the Hebrew children, when Herod went and destroyed all those, tried to kill all those boys trying to get to Jesus. Even think about the things that happened to Hitler and all those other, with Hitler, all those different things. None of that is going to compare to what the nation of Israel is going to face someday in the time of the Great Tribulation. Mark 13:19 puts it this way, "For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created this time, neither shall be." It's this idea that this time is going to be a time of great tribulation. Nation of Israel is amazing what they're going to have to be put through. Now, as we continue on, you see in verse number 12, we see Michael introduced. Now, who is Michael? Well, Michael here is identified for us. He is the only angel that's given the title of the archangel. Now, a lot of people like to think, like to worship this angel and learn a lot about things and try to add a lot of things in the scriptures. The only thing we have and the only thing we know about angels is what we have in the Word of God. And when people come and talk to me about this or that or things they've read or things they think, I tell them I put my faith and trust in the Bible and everything else is just speculation. We know here that the archangel here is Michael. He was the only angel, according to the Bible, that was given this title. Where does he get that title from? It's in Jude verse 9. It says, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee." Now this teaches us something, is that when Satan was created, he was a created being. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit are not created beings. They're from the beginning. They've been here all along. The created being, Lucifer, and Michael the archangel are the counterparts there. Some people like to raise up, and even some religions like to raise up Lucifer and say he's the counterpart of Jesus Christ. That's just blasphemy. You know, he is the Son of God. He is God. And here, Lucifer and Michael, the archangel, are counterparts, and they're many times fighting once against another. And Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9, Michael, the archangel, is the one who is going to cast Satan out of heaven. But one of the great things Michael is known for is for being a person who watches over and protects the nation of Israel. Michael is the one who protects the nation of Israel in Revelation chapter 12, verses 14 through 16. So when you see this phrase, "And at that time shall Michael stand up," what time was it talking about? It's talking about during the Great Tribulation, when the nation of Israel is facing uncertain wrath by the beast, by the dragon or the devil, by the false prophet. All those things are turning their tides against the nation of Israel to suffer like they had never seen suffering before. Michael then stands up. And let's keep on reading here in verse number 1. It says, "Michael, stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people." So we see at this moment in time, he is standing up. "And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered." So at the end of the Great Tribulation, after all these things are happening, that is when Jesus Christ will come back on the white horse and the nation will be delivered. Now here in verse number 2, you begin to see what's going to happen after that deliverance. What's going to happen? And it says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." What I believe this is referring to, remember, who is this talking about? This is Daniel's people. This is Daniel's, the nation of Israel. The remnant of Israel living in a great tribulation will be preserved, and the great company of Gentiles who are saved during the time also will be preserved. Those of the Old Testament who died belonging to the remnant, talking about the nation of Israel, and the Gentiles saved during the Old Testament will be raised to everlasting life at the end of the great tribulation. Now, you say, "Pastor, that sounds a little bit off to me. I thought everybody went up during the rapture." We're going to show you that in a second. But when the Bible is here referring to the nation of Israel, and it's talking about some was coming up to everlasting life, what time is it referring to? It's referring to the end after Michael stood up. It's the end of the Great Tribulation, and that they are all rising up. And who is the ones that are rising up to everlasting life? I believe this is referring to the believers, the Old Testament believers, those who are saved during the tribulation period. Those are the ones that will go up. Now, you say, "Pastor, won't everybody go up at the rapture?" I don't believe the Bible says that. And here's some reasons why. And once again, if you want to disagree with me, you're welcome to. But I think the Bible here teaches us that that the Old Testament believers will be raised at the end of the Great Tribulation. You say, "Why do you think that?" It's because the Old Testament believers, what are their promises for? It's for the world. It's for the earth. And the millennial kingdom is coming back. The New Testament, the church, those that are in Christ, those that are in Jesus, are the ones that have been promised the opportunity to be called up at the beginning of the Great Tribulation during the rapture. The Old Testament saints are not raised up in the rapture of the church. Scripture states that the rapture, those in what? What does it say in 1 Thessalonians 4:14? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. What does it say in 1 Thessalonians 4:16? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So when it's talking about in Christ and in Jesus, this is referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which began at the day of Pentecost. That's when someone is baptized into the body of Christ, baptized into what some would consider the church. So like I said, lots of people differ on different things when it comes to the end times and the tribulations, when it comes to prophecy, but through studying and through looking at this, I believe that this first phrase, when it says that dust of the earth shall awake some to everlasting life, is referring to those that are the Old Testament believers and those that have been killed during a time of the tribulation, whether it be Israelite or one of the many Gentiles that had been killed by the beast. Next thing I want you to think about is that next phrase, which is some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, this refers to the lost of the Old Testament who are raised for the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennial kingdom. So this is a time when there's only one great white throne judgment. They'll be raised all together. And let's go ahead and take our Bibles here in Revelation chapter number 20 if you like to. Revelation chapter number 20 gives you a description of what the great white throne judgment is going to be like. Say, Pastor, why do you want to talk about that? Because we can rejoice in the fact that we will be raised to everlasting life at the time of rapture, but I want you to show you what's in store for those that are not believers. Here in Revelation chapter number 20, we're going to look in verse number 11. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and the great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So as you look at this and as you see these things, this is what it's referring to: those that come and they are raised from the dust to shame and everlasting contempt. And that's what it's talking about in verse number 14. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." In verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Those that were non-believers. That was their shame and that was their contempt that they were going to be facing. Now, that's what it's referring to in verse number 2 there when it talks about some to shame and contempt. Now, go back to Daniel chapter number 12 once again. Daniel chapter number 12, we are brought to this next spot where it refers to the servants and the lights that are shining. It says, "And many then that, verse number 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as stars forever and ever." So when you come to this spot in this verse, what is it talking about? It's talking about Daniel's chosen people. It's talking about during the great tribulation time. It's talking about the latter times and the end times. And what is God's servants in the dark days of the great tribulations will shine as lights. If there is one that is going to be a believer, and we know there is going to be 144,000 witnesses, but with these amongst so many, many people that are worshiping the beast, that are worshiping the Antichrist, that have those marks of the beast, all those different things, that these servants of God are going to shine up like lights. I mean, literally, I don't believe it's talking about literally here. What it's referring to here is the fact that amongst the darkness, they will shine bright, just like we're supposed to as believers. You know what it says in Philippians 2:15? It says, "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Does that mean that you light up like a light Christmas bulb? you know, when you live for God, you shine. No, but your character and your testimony stands out amongst the worldliness, amongst the ungodliness, amongst all the other wickedness that's going around. If you're going to live for God in the midst of a wicked, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, you're going to shine as a light in this world. You're going to be different. You're going to stand out. And I know lots of people say, well, I don't like standing out. And I understand. I'll be honest with you, I'm not the biggest fan of being up in front of people. You say, Pastor, you preach all the time. I know that, but I'm still not the biggest fan of it. I would, you know, the way I was made, I would rather be on a mountain somewhere, but we can't reach people the gospel that way, can we? And we got to do and step out of our comfort zone, and God helps us with those things. But I want you to understand that you can shine as a light in this world. No matter how dark the rest of the world is, you can shine. That's what it's referring to, I believe, in verse number 3 here. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Now, during the Great Tribulation time, you know what's going to be wise? Is to get the mark of the beast. Because you're not going to be able to eat. You're not going to be able to go to a store. You're not going to be able to do anything without that mark of the beast. In the man's wisdom, it's going to be just follow along with everybody else. But that's not the wisdom God's talking about. The wisdom here is the one that's God's wisdom. And that's how we shine as lights that are bright today. It's not by living according to man's wisdom and this world's wisdom. This man's wisdom would say, why are you going to go to church? Why are you going to study a book that's thousands of years old? Why are you going to give part of your living or your money to a organization? Man's wisdom would tell you to do what feels right and what feels good. You know what happens when you do that? You're just like everybody else. But when you live for God and you have a bright light and you choose to live for God in this wicked, perverse, crooked nation and generation that we live in, you're going to light up. You're going to be shown. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to glorify him with our hearts and with our lives. He keep on going. And see the next phrase, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now, it's talking about turning many to righteousness. These mean people will be saved during the Great Tribulation? Yes. The Bible talks about multitudes coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They say, now, I believe, according to what the Bible teaches, I believe that if you've heard a clear presentation of the gospel and you rejected that, I believe that you're not going to be able to get saved. I think that's where the strong delusion comes into that it talks about in the epistles. Now, I mean, some popular movies and many, many preachers today would disagree with me about that, but I believe the Bible teaches us that. And when it's talking about these lights showing, turning many to righteousness, are those that have not had a clear presentation of the gospel. You say, Pastor, there's people out there that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel? Yes. They live on your street. They work with you. You say, oh, they live in church, live in America. There's a church on every corner. I don't know how many of your testimonies I've heard where you grew up in different types of churches and say, you know what, I never heard the gospel preach until I went to the right church. I sat in church all my life, and I never truly heard a presentation of the gospel until somebody opened up the Bible and said, here, this is how you're saved. That your righteousness, and that's what it's talking about, turning the many to righteousness. That's not talking about our righteousness, because our righteousness in God's eyes is filthy rags. He's talking about the righteousness of Jesus Christ, pointing people to Christ. And that's what, those that turn people to Christ, they're going to shine even brighter. And I tell you that, it's not even just enough of living for God, not having man's wisdom. You're going to stand out like that. Don't get me wrong, you will. And there's probably many of us that stand out in our families, stand out where we work at, stand out in our communities because we're light. But they say the people that are going to shine even brighter are those that turn people to the righteousness. What does that mean? People who win people to Jesus Christ, they're going to even shine brighter. And that is the truth. And that's what we should desire to be. When we talk about pursuing after God, and that is getting a heart of God, and that heart of God is for lost souls, that's when we're going to shine bright, is when we allow God to use us to bring people to Jesus Christ. Let's look here in verse number 4. Verse number 4, it says, these prophecies, in verse number 4, it says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the books, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, these prophecies were sealed until the time of the end. And we learned about that, what that was earlier. It was the Great Tribulation period. Now, these things might have some importance. We might have some interest in seeing what these things say now. But when end times come and all these things are happening, boy, that is when it's going to be revealed and the seals are going to be broken and you're going to see what happens in Daniel 70th week. This does not mean the end of time refers, but it refers to the definite period of time which the book of Daniel is in the 70th week. Many take this prediction as being filled, and you're talking about here in the end of verse number 4, it says, and even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Many take this prediction or this prophecy as being fulfilled in the travel, how people today are able to run to and fro throughout the whole world. It's increase in travel and the ability with jets and airplanes. You can be in one continent and another continent in just a few number of hours. And the information explosions, talking about the modern age of information, that knowledge shall be increased. And I think that there is some truth to that. I think it also talks about prophecy here. And it's, once again, it's referring to the prophecy. It's referring to those things shut up in the words and sealed in the book. And there is much talk about prophecy today. If you go back in the beginning first centuries, you know what the great things that people studied out were? Things such as the inspiration of the Bible, the deity of Christ, the virgin birth of Christ. All those things throughout the years are the fundamentals that people searched out and they belabored on. You know, in the last 100 years, what has become really, really interesting to many people is what's happening in the end times. And this is the, and that's when it's, I think it's talking about the knowledge shall be increased. It's talking about the prophecies and the knowledge that God is giving us and increasing these things to our hearts and our mind and our interests. Now, that gives us to verse number 4. If you look in verse number 5, it says, then I, Daniel, looked and behold, there stood another two. Remember, he is speaking the vision. He is talking to the one that is on the water. There's two other. He's on the Tigris bank, and on the one side of the bank of the river, and the other on the side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in the linen, which was upon the waters of river, how long shall it be to end of these wonders? So they're wondering, when is this going to happen? No one knows when the rapture will take place. The Bible tells us that over and over. God knows. And it's for us to just be watching, for us to be waiting. Verse number 7, I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the water of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished the scatter of the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now, a time is referring to a year. Times is referring to multiple years, which would be 2 years. So you take 1 + 2, which would make 3, and it talks about a half a year. So that's talking about the 3.5 years after the abomination of desolation, after the when the Antichrist turns his back. Verse number 9, and we'll finish with this. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Daniel's still wondering what's going to happen. Daniel's still saying, what in the world is going on? When will all this happen? And he wants to know. But what they tell him is, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. He's saying, don't worry. They're saying, don't worry about all this. What you need to worry about is to go and do what you're supposed to do. And it brings me to the last slide that's up there. And it says, what should we be looking for? Should we be looking for all these different things that's talked about on there? You know what? We can study. The Bible says that we'll be blessed by understanding the book of Revelation. But what our goal is and what our responsibility today is to live for God. The Bible says here in Titus chapter 2 what we should be looking for. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us. And what does the grace of God teach us? Some people will tell you that it teaches us that you can live whatever way you want. You got a license to sin because you're saved and on your way to heaven. But the Bible says, teaching us that the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse number 13 teaches us what we should be looking for. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So what the Bible is saying here is that we should be looking forward to the day when Jesus returns. When Jesus returns, which is the rapture, that's when the ruin begins, which talks about the great tribulation. And we talked about those 5 different R's. And here, this is what we should be looking for, is Jesus Christ's return. Now, when we're looking for that, how should we live? Well, the Bible says we should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should be living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And that's what I think he's referring to in verse number 9. He's telling you that, Daniel, the book's closed up, the book's sealed, go thy way. Go live the life that you're supposed to be living because it's all done. You don't need to know anything else. You don't need to know any more. Start looking for that blessed hope. And we're going to look at the last few verses the next time we come, and look at especially on verse number 13, when it talks about, it says, "But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." And so what it's referring to there is that, hey, this is not what you're supposed to be focusing on. You're supposed to be living your life and supposed to be doing what you're supposed to do. And it is cool. If you get into the Bible and you look at that great tribulation period and that time of wonder and that time of all the different things that are going to happen, figuring out all those things, they are very, very interesting to think about and consider. But what are we supposed to be focusing on today? Shining as lights in this world. You know, how great is it to think about those that are going to shine as lights in the tribulation period amongst the darkness when nobody else is doing what's right and everyone else is deceived under that great delusion? Man, that's wonderful. But how great is it for us today having the opportunity to shine as light for God today? I mean, we're not going to be here during the tribulation. We are not going to have the opportunity to shine then. You know what? We're going to have the opportunity to shine now. And the brighter we shine, the greater chance that people will be turning to righteousness. This evening, when we look at this and consider the book of Daniel, we see the story, and you can think about Michael standing up for the nation of Israel, going to help save the nation of Israel. And Jesus Christ coming back at that last moment and destroying those that are against the nation of Israel, taking the false prophet, taking the beast and casting him into the everlasting fire. Those are great storylines. And those are things we should know and understand, because we can have confidence in the future. We can believe and trust in God. But when we apply it to today, what would God want us to do today? He would want us to shine as lights today. And when we think about these different stories, we can say, thank goodness God is in control. Thank goodness, just as those Old Testament saints will rise up at the end of Great Tribulation, before the tribulation ever begins, those that are in Christ, those that are in Jesus, will be risen and we'll have our glorified bodies. We'll have that 7 years' time to be with him, and then we'll come with him once again someday. And I don't know about you. You can get caught up in prophecy so much that you forget how to live today. And prophecy is interesting, but let me encourage you. If you spend so much time learning about that last head on that beast body and you forget how to live a Christian life, you've missed the whole point while you're here. God wants us to live for him today. Shine as a light in the world you live in, right where you're at. And that way, you will not be ashamed when you see him at his coming. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Let's go ahead and bow our head and close our eyes for a time of invitation.